Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Everyone Has a Story, the podcast that complements our two quarterly lifestyle magazines, Hello Sunshine and In Noosa Magazine. Look for the winter issues on the streets now. And if you'd like your brand and your business to be part of our next issue, our spring issues, contact our customer service managers. You'll find us on Facebook and on Instagram. Simply look for Hello Sunshine Magazine or In Noosa Magazine. All right, on with today's episode of our podcast. My guest on today's episode is a cardiologist who's studied and worked all over the world, from the UK to Italy, Germany, and the United States. With the recent deaths of prominent Australians Shane Warne and Senator Kimberley Kitching, cricketer Ryan Campbell is luckily recovering following his cardiac arrest. Preemptive measures around heart disease and heart attacks have been a trending topic. Professor Christian Hamilton Craig believes that there's a simple, accurate test that could save many more lives. He's my guest on today's episode. I started by asking him if he'd always wanted a career in medicine.
No, I thought about it long and hard. Look, I took a gap year out from school after having won the law scholarship. And I thought about doing law because I was into debating and I loved arguing with my parents. But my father is a doctor, and so I'd been exposed to that. And I didn't want that to just bias my choices. And they were pretty good about supporting me and taking some time out to get to know myself a little better and understand the world. But then I did a legal clerkship or a summer kind of internship. And it just didn't inspire me. Like the amount of reading into case law and precedent and the culture of that particular law firm anyway was not something that I wanted to aspire to. Whereas when I went overseas as the gap year, I realized that health is where you can really help people. Not that you can't do that in law, but in general, on your day-to-day, your business is about assisting people in need and alleviating suffering. And the science is interesting, and the medicine is interesting, and I was attracted to cardiology for a number of reasons. It's the area in medicine that has the largest evidence base. So for an academic clinician like myself, it's a really attractive area. And I've really enjoyed it because also cardiology is interesting medicine. And there's a big need in the community still.
Tell me a little bit about your parents. You said your dad was a doctor. Did he specialise in any particular field?
Well, he's a cholesterol expert who did his PhD in overseas in the days where cholesterol wasn't really believed in as a risk factor, and has maintained, you know, he was a leader in the field coming back to Australia in that space. And so, you know, I have followed in his footsteps, but I followed in his footsteps by conscious choice, where I really wanted to work in cardiology but have an academic aspect where I keep abreast of latest developments and the science and clinical trials. But I'm very interested in translational work where you deliver that evidence into patient care. I'm not a bench scientist with test tubes looking at, you know, drug discovery. So that's where I really enjoy working.
When was there a turnaround in linking high cholesterol to heart disease?
Well, he did his PhD in about 1968. He's an interesting man. He was offered a Rhodes Scholarship and actually turned it down in order to get married to my mother, because in those days you couldn't be married and hold a Rhodes Scholarship. That's a pretty courageous thing to do. and he's obviously studied this from a science perspective in an era where not like it wasn't believed in, it's just that there wasn't good evidence at that time. I think the turnaround point was the 4F trial, which is SSFS, of the first oral cholesterol, easily available cholesterol-lowering drug in the mid-80s, I think. And that was the first major trial to conclusively show that reducing cholesterol clearly led to a reduction in heart attacks and death.
You are now located at the Noosa Public Hospital, is that correct?
Well, it's the Noosa Hospital, so it does both public and private work. But I was, for 17 years, I worked at the Prince Charles Hospital, which is the biggest cardiology unit in the country, supplying, you know, transplant, heart-lung services, and complex cardiology for the state of Queensland. And I really enjoyed that work. It's hard, but it taught me a hell of a lot. So when I moved into my own practice, I was able to bring, you know, a good decade of experience as a specialist in a high-end facility, and also bring the connection. So I still know all the guys down there. So when I have a patient that needs something done, the pathways are much more fluid for someone who's worked there. But I decided to relocate to Sunshine Coast in about 2017, I think. And we thought about that for a long time. Both my wife and I had a long-term desire to live in a regional area. I worked in Lismore for a while and Byron Shire, and really enjoyed that experience. But we looked at work down there, and prices for property were too high, and Lismore Hospital is nowhere near the beach. And I thought, no, we're not doing that. And you know, through various experiences, we fell in love with the Sunshine Coast, particularly this northern end, which is less busy. But it's still got a decent hospital with a proper emergency department and a real coronary care unit, proper intensive care. So you can provide, you know, high-end cardiology services to a point in a local area, 15 minutes from home and 500 metres from the kids' school.
And Christian, are you the first dedicated cardiologist in the Noosa area?
Look, I'm the only cardiologist, to my knowledge, that lives in Noosa. There are other cardiologists who service the Noosa area, but they're primarily cardiologists from Batinia and near the Sunshine Coast private larger hospital who do satellite clinics up there, and they drain patient flow back down to that hospital. So I am the only cardiologist who services Noosa Hospital.
When it comes to heart attacks and fatalities from cardiac disease, has there been an increase or a decrease in Australia?
Big decrease in mortality from heart attacks. So heart attacks mostly are not fatal if they're treated before, up front. So if they're detected early or if their patient presents early, there's been an enormous decrease in fatalities, but also a decrease in big heart attacks. So unplugging the artery early within 90 minutes of onset of symptoms leaves to salvage of that amount of heart muscle that was at risk. And so we don't see the heart failure or the big complications of heart attacks that we used to see in the 80s. So it's really changed a lot.
It sounds that Australians are more conscientious when it comes to cardiac care.
Look, smoking has rates have dropped precipitously, although there is a concerning trend for increases in smoking in younger females, possibly around social pressures and diet. So that's not a good thing. But overall, smoking rates have dramatically plummeted. Patients are much more aware. The term is called health literacy, where patients actually know what's going on and they want to be involved in their decisions. And uptake on simple medications like blood pressure lowering, aspirin, cholesterol lowering has been routine now in general practice. So most patients will have had their GP look at them from a risk profile and at least at minimum, applied one of the risk calculators, such as the CVD check calculator, which is currently under upgrade, and I'm sort of indirectly involved in that process. But at least someone is looking at them, looking at their risk. Do they have diabetes? Do they have high blood pressure? Do they have a family history, which is important, and that's not captured by the risk current calculators? Awareness is much better than it was, amongst both patients and GPs.
Christian, you mentioned cholesterol, smoking, blood pressure. What are some of the other common causes for heart attacks? Is it obesity?
It is linked. Obesity is more linked to driving diabetes. You know, so that's the high fat content and diet that leads to obesity also that drives diabetes up. But you can be fat and fit and healthy, so that does exist. The other factors that I think I'd like to mention are the SMURFs, which is a new concept coined by Gemma Figtree, a famous cardiologist in Sydney, which is standard modifiable risk factors encompassing the classic risk factors of smoking, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, etc. But the proportion, and those people have a much higher incidence of heart attack, it's true. But the proportion of patients presenting with a heart attack who have no risk factors, which we could call the SMURFless risk people, is increasing. as a proportion of those with heart attacks. Something that we don't know about what's shifted in our society, or is telling us that there are other risk factors that we don't know about because we're not picking up disease early enough. And I think that's because we're not imaging people, which segues into, you know, looking early detection of disease in asymptomatic patients.
Let's talk about cardiac imaging. As I mentioned earlier, it was the first time I've ever had it done. I've had high cholesterol for about 2 decades. But about 6 years ago, I went for my first calcium scan. Now, is this yep. a new way of diagnosing if your arteries are hardening up or have kind of a gunk build up in them? Is this new? Tell us more about this.
It's not new. It's been around for at least 20 years, but it's new in the sense of the evidence base is now strong enough that both the National Heart Foundation and the Cardiac Society of Australia, New Zealand recommend coronary artery calcium scoring in certain individuals to improve precision of risk assessment, because it's recognised that the online calculators are just not that accurate, particularly in certain patient groups, younger people, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders, certain women, for example, are not well validated in those calculators. So basically, as cholesterol is deposited in the arteries, which it does, because the circulating, this is an important point, the circulating cholesterol in the blood is excess cholesterol that the body is not using. Cholesterol that's needed for cell membranes in the ovaries and the testes and the brain is synthesized inside the cell, but it's the excess cholesterol produced by the liver that's circulating and measured in the blood. So that's important because it's a waste product. And as it builds up in the blood, that gets deposited in the arteries because the blood runs through the arteries, leading to atherosclerosis or pimples inside the arteries that then over time harden up and get calcified. And it's this calcification or hard plaque that you can see on a scan, which is a very simple, as you know, non-invasive test where you lie down on a scanner, you take one breath, and you get a picture of the heart. It's simple, it's easy, it's accurate, and the evidence base and the guidelines now support its use. Where it is not necessary is if patients are already at very high risk because they've got diabetes or a previous heart attack or a stent. You know, those people don't need a scan because they already should be treated. But it's the worried well or the community dwelling, you know, mother of three whose brother had a heart attack last month. She should or he should have a calcium scan because you just don't know, based on someone's risk profile, whether they've got the disease or not. So it's a no-brainer. The only limitation for calcium scoring is that it is not Medicare funded in Australia. And the reason for that is that no application has been put forward for a reimbursement. And it will probably be applied for in the coming years once we get a couple of Australian clinical trials that are currently underway, when they read out and provide outcomes and health economic data to show that this is a useful test in Australian healthcare system. I suspect we'll get funding.
And could that be the reason why not a lot of people get a calcium score? Because as I said, yeah. I've spoken about it to friends and family over the last 6 years, but not many of the people that I talk to either have heard of it or have had one themselves.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think there's three issues here. One, the cardiologists themselves hadn't really embraced it broadly until relatively recently, and I wrote the national position statement on that in 2017. And since then, I think the college has got behind it. I'm not sure what the College of GPs' view on it is, but I think they recognise now that it's a useful test in individuals. And thirdly, I think if a test doesn't have Medicare reimbursement, it really limits access. So there isn't equity of access, and there's plenty of people, particularly those in lower socioeconomic groups, who just simply can't afford the $100 to spend on it. But also, there's an expectation in Australia, because of the universal coverage health system, that things should be covered by the government. So if they're not covered, even if people can afford it, they don't tend to go for it unless they're, you know, convinced otherwise. So I think there has been a reluctancy and uptake of calcium scoring, which hopefully will change in the next coming years, because it's extremely useful and probably would have prevented poor old Shane Warne tragedy. It had his coronary disease been picked up and acted on early enough.
My GP at the time, 6 or 7 years ago, said this, and with your knowledge and expertise in cardiology, he said, we'll send you for a calcium scan, because he returned from a seminar at the time and said, there's new evidence that shows that if you're of a certain age and you have zero buildup in your arteries, then it's okay to run a high cholesterol level.
Above the age of 45 to 84 is the group that this test has been validated mostly. And it is fair to say that a patient with a calcium score of zero has a very low risk of having anything go wrong with them. So I routinely stop cholesterol medications in patients who have a calcium score of zero, depending on their background level of cholesterol. That's an important point, because if you've got familial genetic high cholesterol with like cholesterol in the 11s or in the 20s, extremely high risk and very bad family history where everyone in your family's had a heart attack under the age of 50, those patients were excluded from those trials. So they are a different cohort. You've got to identify those people and treat them quite strongly, because they have a very high risk of mortality at a young age. But putting them aside, with the broader general population, yes, it is a test that you can actually exclude disease, and by excluding it, stop medication or reduce medication and then re-image them in perhaps 5 years and have another look down then. So that saves money, and it saves people taking medications and the side effects that can exist. And it's a real thing. We know from good evidence now in humans that statins that lower cholesterol take the cholesterol out of the plaque, so that the plaque that's there gets delipidated, or if you like, the fatty bit is removed and it leaves behind the harder bit. So patients on statins usually have an increase in their calcium score, which some people find confusing, but it's not. It makes absolute sense. Increase in the calcium score, but a massive decrease in heart attack, stroke, and death. So a calcium score of zero at an age of around 50 has a less than 0.1% risk of having a heart attack or stroke. It's very low risk.
And one quick one before we go. Is there a radiation risk if you can't go and get this imaging done? How often can you get it done? Because I recall, again, just in my particular experience, it had been 6 years. I'm probably due for another one. But is there a risk of the radiation with the X-raying and the imaging all the time?
But 2 points there. Firstly, a calcium zero patient with ongoing high cholesterol, you know, will become calcium positive after a few years in about 20% of the time. So I routinely bring these people back and re-image them in a 3-year to 5-year window, and that's what the guidelines recommend. Secondly, radiation in the current generation of scanners, radiation is just not an issue. It's about the same dose as a mammogram, and women have mammograms regularly for surveillance of breast cancer, and yet coronary disease and heart attacks still is the much, much bigger killer in our community. So everyone really should be having a scan like this at some point in their lives.
Professor Christian Hamilton Craig, cardiologist, local cardiologist based at the Noosa Hospital. He was my guest on today's episode of our podcast, Everyone Has a Story. If you enjoyed the podcast, if you think there's somebody that might get something out of this podcast, please feel free to share it about on your social media networks. Until next time, take care.